Good morning and happy new year. It has been some time since I've had to do church via at my house, Facebook Live, but nevertheless, we are here today. I want to just, first of all, thank everybody for just the prayers. Obviously, I think a lot of people know that I came down with COVID and several in our church as well with that. And so we're all doing well. Just want to take the extra precaution of not having church in person today, as well as we won't be having it on Wednesday as far as our usual Wednesday Bible study. We'll get back on track with that in the following week, and we'll be back in our church building having services next Sunday, which will be the 9th. So looking forward to getting back to that. But I didn't want to go another week without going through our 2022 vision. And so that's what we're going to do today as far as the message. And so if you will, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And what we're going to do is I'm going to mail you out and use this verse as our vision verse for the year for 2022 to kind of lay out what God has laid on my heart as far as what we need to be doing, I think, in just our relationship with Him. Last year we went through dealing with preaching the Word and just everybody's responsibility as Christians to be able to share the Word of God. It doesn't mean that you have to be behind a pulpit like a pastor preaching, but simply sharing the truth of the Word of God that the Lord has shown you. And so really it was more of an outward focus last year, but this year it's more of an inward focus. And if you've seen on our on my post on Facebook, I've given the outline for today's message, and just looking at from captivity to Christ. In other words, just understanding as a Christian, continuing to live in the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. And to do that and kind of lay that out, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. All right, why don't we go ahead and just read that verse, and then we'll get started in what we need to see today. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says simply this: "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now understand that Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. Galatia is a province, so it's more than just one local church. And what he's encouraging, commanding them really to do is to obviously stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given us. And so it's not, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to people that have a relationship with Christ. But what we need to understand is that even as Christians, we still can be entangled with the yoke of bondage, where the things of the flesh, the things of this world, and can really limit our relationship with Christ. And so this year, we really are going to be focusing on what is our walk, what is our relationship with the Lord, more of an inward focus. It doesn't mean that we stop preaching the Word, like we talked about last year, or any other commandments that God has given us in the Word of God. But we're really going to focus on our relationship with the Lord and making sure that we're not in captivity, that we're not being entangled in the things of this world or of our flesh. And so today we're going to look at three different things out of this one verse. We're going to look at our standing, liberating, and then obviously entangling as we go through this verse. I'm going to have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this year. We thank you for everything that you've shown us last year in just preaching the Word and from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, and as we went through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And this year we look forward to what you're going to have to for us in the book of Exodus that we're going to be going through starting next week, Lord willing. But Father, I pray that you help us to draw our attention to this verse, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Help us to understand the things that really that we need to see, and that you're going to be laying out the foundation for the things that we're going to be seeing as we do go through the book of Exodus. Lord, and I pray that we would take it to heart. Lord, there's not a one of us as Christians that we don't fight against our flesh or the things of this world, a draw to the things of this world. And Lord, that can entangle us and that can hinder our walk and relationship with you. So Lord, help us to understand what it is to live free. We have liberty in you. You've taken care of that bondage and that yoke of sin and all that with Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection. Help us to live in that freedom on a daily basis. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, the first thing we're going to look at is really the first word of this verse. It says, "Standing fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Standing. And that's something that, again, there's a lot of references, a lot of examples of what it is to be standing, obviously standing on our faith, standing in the Lord, and so on. But for the first thing that I want to actually show us is that when we're talking about living free and the liberty that we have in Christ, it is a warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare. And we know this as we talk about standing because of the armor of God that we're supposed to put on. The God's armor is for the purpose of being able to fight against all the conflict and the things that Satan is going to throw at us, this world is going to throw at us, even our own flesh is going to throw at us. I want you to turn over real quickly to Ephesians chapter 6, the famous passage in dealing with the armor of God, and notice what it says, with the emphasis on the word of dealing with standing or stand. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says this. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So as we look at verses 10 through 18, again, we see very clearly that we are in a spiritual warfare, and Satan's going to do everything he can to stop and hinder our relationship with the Lord and being able to reach others. So we need to have the whole armor of God on, ready to stand. And we see that word mentioned several times, and grammatically we're going to talk about how we need to stand with each part of the armor of God on. There's several or seven specific parts of the armor of God that is mentioned, including and ending with prayer. All these things are important for us to stand, and we have to have our armor on if we're going to stand. Again, if we go back to Galatians chapter 5, as it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free." We've got to stand with our armor on. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, it talks about, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." And so we talk about being specifically standing fast in the faith. That faith is laid out for us in the Word of God. We know this. That's one of our main verses in our church. Faith Bible Church is Romans 10:17. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we hear the Word, we're going to grow in our faith in the Word of God. Well, we're supposed to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, or stand strong, stand sound in the faith, stand strong in the things of the Word of God. That's what's going to help us to live free and not be entangled again in this yoke of bondage. You look back at Galatians 5 and verse 1 again. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." We are free. And the blessing that we live in a country that we do, that we have a lot of freedoms. No other country like it in the world, and we thank God for it. And obviously there's always a challenge of making sure that we continue to be able to have our freedoms and our liberties that is guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. But no matter what the world does or our country does, in Christ we have freedom. We have liberty. That's why Jesus Christ came, is to give us freedom from sin, freedom from the burdens and the things of this world, in a sense, as far as what our flesh likes to get involved in and all that. We have liberty from that. I want you to go over to the Gospel of Luke real quick, into chapter 4. As you make your way there, just a little bit of the context is the Lord has just been baptized by John the Baptist. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Obviously, he came through all that. And then after that, after those 40 days and nights of temptation, he comes into the synagogue, and they hand to him the scroll, and he opens up to the place where it's actually found in the book of Isaiah. And he says this, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, obviously, there's a lot that's going on in this verse that the Lord is doing, why he came. And again, specifically preaching the gospel to the poor, but he says to heal the brokenhearted. He says to preach deliverance to the captives. For those who are captive, captivated by what? Whether it's sin, whether it's the things of this world, whether it's past hurts, feelings, whatever the case is that we are able to be delivered from that. That's what the preaching of the Word of God, what Jesus Christ came to do, is to deliver us from whatever is holding us captive. And not only that, he goes on and says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Again, I don't know all the circumstances and the situations that has bruised you in your life. I know that after 52 years of living for me, there's a number of things that have happened in my life that have bruised me, that have hurt me, and whatever the case is. But Jesus Christ, and having a relationship with him, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to free me from those things, to give me liberty, to deliver me from this, to be able to heal the brokenhearted. That is why Christ came. And just because we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior doesn't mean that we still don't struggle with those things. But we still don't struggle with things that happened in the past, things that happened during this week, whatever. But we, through the power of God and His Word, we have liberty and deliverance from that, and we need to live in that and trust in that. Part of our problem is that we just don't let go. You know, the famous thing we talk about, you know, let go and let God. It's like it's easily said, it's easily understood, but how hard is it for us to actually do that on a daily basis or a weekly basis? And that's exactly what we need to do. It's like God is taking care of all that. His Word, the power of the gospel, has delivered us from that. He has given us liberty. He has given us freedom. Over in 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the difference of really living in the Spirit, the difference between all we have in Christ as far as the Old Testament law is concerned. And I want you to notice what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." It's a promise, and it's a truth of the Word of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now think about this. As believers in Christ, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, what happens? The Spirit of God indwells us. We're baptized spiritually into the body of Christ. He seals us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if the Spirit of God has sealed us, He is in us, guess what? We are walking around free. We have liberty. Our problem is that we just don't walk according to that truth. We walk still and we struggle with the flesh. We're like, we're still in a prison cage even though that we are absolutely 100% free. Jesus Christ says this. I want you to go back to the Gospel of John. In John chapter 8, a simple little verse that the Lord lays out to us. In John chapter 8, down in verse 36, John 8:36 says this: "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It doesn't matter your social economic situation. It doesn't matter, again, your position in society or anything like that. If you have the Son, if you have Jesus Christ, if you accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You are free. Every day you wake up, no matter the physical circumstances that are going on, you are free. You have liberty. And again, our problem is that we don't walk in that as we should. When I was putting this message together, and I've been obviously dwelling and thinking upon this for a while, and just kind of thinking about an example of what we're talking about here, I think the Lord brought back to mind a situation when I was a police officer for Marion Police Department. One of my least favorite calls to deal with were animal calls. When I was working back at that time, we didn't have a CSO always on duty or our animal control officer on duty all the time. So in working an evening shift or night shift or whatever, usually if there's an animal call, you had to deal with it, which meant going back to the station, getting out of your car, getting the animal control truck and all that. And there was one particular time to where I got a call for raccoons being in the basement of a house. Now, let me give you an understanding of something. In the police academy, there was no training on how to deal with raccoons in a house. I have no background. I have no understanding of that whatsoever. So I get this call, and I go pick up the truck, and I go back to the location, and it was an older couple that was there, and it was their son that was telling me and showing me where this was at. I mean, it was a nightmare kind of a situation where it had rained a whole bunch the day before. There was like an inch of water in the basement, and there was these, what was one raccoon turned out to be three raccoons. And it was like two baby raccoons and probably the mom. And I went into this call fully understanding that I'm going to get bit. I'm going to have the rabies shots. This is going to be absolutely terrible. This is not what I got into policing for. So anyhow, I go back to the truck, I get some cages, and I get the catch pole and everything like this. I'm just making this stuff up as I go. And I go in there, and I get the first baby raccoon, stick it in the cage, take it back out of the truck, no problem. Second one time I go in there, and that's the other raccoon, and I just call him Satan's raccoon, because it started hissing at me and peeing and all this other stuff, and then the mom was coming out, and it was, all kinds of noise. I mean, this was a terrible situation, but I got the catch pole around this Satan's raccoon, and it was hollering and everything like that. Finally got it into the cage, shut the door, went to the truck, put it in there, and I went back for the big one. And the big one had disappeared, thank God. I don't know where it went, but at least I got two of them. So what do I do with these raccoons? So I take them out to our public works. First raccoon that I got, open a cage, and it does what a raccoon's supposed to do. Goes free into the woods to live happily ever after. Satan's raccoon, on the other hand, when I opened the cage, it started yelling and hissing, backing up. It wouldn't go free. I literally had to get the catch pole, grab it, to put it into the woods again to go free. What this reminds me of is a lot that we are like Satan's raccoon sometimes. The cage is open. We're free. We are free in Christ, but yet we stay in the cage. My years in policing, there are people that have been incarcerated. They go free, and they commit another crime so they can go back to prison because they do not know how or want to live free. They want to be enslaved. And a lot of times as Christians, we are like that, or we're like that raccoon that doesn't want to go free. When we've accepted Christ, He's delivered us. He's ready to heal our broken heart. He's preached to us the gospel, the word of God. We have freedom. We have liberty. We are free indeed. And our problem is that we don't walk in that. We don't live in that. We feel comfortable by living in the world and holding on to the things that have bruised us, that have hurt us, that have held us captive, instead of walking in the deliverance that we have in Christ. And that's not what God wants for us. We go back to Galatians chapter 5. I want to pick up the third thing here. We're talking about standing and, again, understanding of the spiritual battle that we're in, and we need to stand in the armor of God that God has given us to be able to continue to live free. We talk about liberating what we have in Christ and how He's made us free. He's made us free. And it goes on and talks about, really, the warning of not being entangled again. I'm going to read the whole verse. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You see, that we have to worry about being entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Just because we have Christ as our Savior doesn't mean that we're just not susceptible to being entangled again, because we are walking around in this flesh. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 38, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Our flesh has nothing to offer that's going to help us in our walk in relationship with the Lord or helping others out. We're sinful people. But we have the power to walk in freedom and liberty. But we have to make that decision that we're going to walk according to the truth of the Word of God, as opposed to being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want you to notice something else that Christ said. This time go back to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, speaking to His disciples, speaking to the nation of Israel, He says this at the end of the chapter. We're going to pick it up in verse 28. So Matthew chapter 11, we're going to pick it up in verse 28 to 30. Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." See, our problem is that we're yoked with the things of this world, with our flesh and everything like that. That's not an easy yoke. That's not labor that's going to give us any kind of rest at all. But what we need to do on a daily basis is heed this, that we need to take the yoke of Christ upon us, because it's light. He's going to give us rest. His burden is easy. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul warns us not to be yoked together with unbelievers, those that will bring us down. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick, and just we'll pick it up in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. A lot of times this reference is used in relationship to marriage, as far as a Christian not being married to somebody who is not saved or not a Christian, and that. But even in the sense of two Christians going to be together and going to be unequally yoked. If one wants to serve the Lord and the other one doesn't, there's going to be problems in that household for sure. But it's beyond that as well. It's not just a verse dealing with marriage. It's dealing with our life in general, that we don't want to be yoked together with an unbeliever. Why? Because we'll be entangled in the things of this world again and not living in the liberty that God has given us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says this, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, and or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Belial is just another name for dealing with Satan. There's obviously no agreement, and that's what we see in verse 16. It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's like, again, we don't want to be yoked with the things of this world, or yoked with unbelievers, things that are going to entangle us again. Paul warns us about that, not to be entangled with the things of this world. If you go with me real quick over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 1. You know, Paul is talking to Timothy, and really in the context of people turning away from following the Lord and heeding the word of God. He tells Timothy in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, warfare. We're in a warfare. And then verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In my job, in my life, not just as a pastor, but in law enforcement and just being out and about, talking to people, you know, do my best to try to give people advice when they want it or ask it. I'm amazed at some of the people and just that they continually want to live in bondage. They continually seem like they want to be yoked with people that are giving them and causing them problems. Not helping them in their relationship with the Lord, but hindering. I'm amazed, you know, and people that, you know, they'll complain and so forth and want a better life, but they don't do the things that actually live free, liberated in Christ. They continue to dwell in the things of the flesh. They continue to make decisions that are not according to the truth of the Word of God. And then they, again, stay in the same place of just complaining about all their issues and their problems. This is not theory when God says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It's not a theory or just a nice little saying or thing like that. When we talk about Jesus Christ, he's the Son, that when he makes free indeed. It's reality. The problem is, again, we don't want to live in that reality, really. But that's what we need to do, and that's what we need to understand in 2022. It's like God wants us to live free, to live in that liberty that we have, not to be continually entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Not to be entangled with the things of this flesh. Again, I don't know the things that you struggle with and the things that hinder. I mean, I get it. There's times, and I'm speaking to myself, that, man, we have a lot of things down right in our life as Christians, and we're doing the right thing, we're staying in the Word of God, we're praying, and we're seeking to help others and things like that, but there's still things in our lives that hinder us, that we're still bound by, that we still entangle us and trip us up. And it's those things we think, well, that's just the way I am. That is just a terrible excuse. Well, I've been this way all my life. Well, that's not what God wants. He wants us to be more and more like Christ, to live in that freedom and liberty that I have. We have the power to live a liberated, free life, and it comes from the power of the Word of God, actually applying it in our life. The problem is we hold on to that. Now, this year, as I mentioned, we're going to be going through the book of Exodus. I can't think of a better book to understand, really, and just seeing in the life of the nation of Israel, them being in bondage in Egypt, and seeing the power of God liberating them and making them free. But as we go through Exodus, we'll probably cover basically a chapter a week. Some will take a couple of weeks to cover that sort of thing. But basically, each week we're going to be looking into the life of the nation of Israel and how they went from slavery to freedom, all right, from captivity to Christ, in a sense. And we're also going to see to where, even as the Lord has freed them from Egypt, how they still wanted to go back to slavery because they thought they had it better. There's a lot that we're going to learn in the book of Exodus this year. A lot to be understood. And hopefully by the end of 2022, Lord willing, if he doesn't come back before then, I don't have any problems with that, come back right now. But as we go through the year, we're going to see the importance of learning how it is that we can live free in every aspect in our life. Whatever things that have bruised us, whatever things that have held us captive, whatever things that are hindering our walk in relationship with the Lord, to be able to see the power of God and the Word of God set us free from those things as well, so that we can really live to the greatest potential that we can have in Christ. I want to close with this one verse back in Galatians chapter 5, and it's down in verse 13. This is something that as believers in Christ we need to remember and hold on to. Galatians 5:13 says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." It's my prayer that that would be true for all of us. And I'm going to ask, especially those obviously that attend Faith Bible Church, that you will study and read the book of Exodus with us so that we can live liberated, that we're ready to serve one another and not be, again, entangled in a yoke of bondage or anything like that. I'm going to ask you that each week that you read the chapter that we're going to be preaching through in Exodus. I'm going to encourage you, if you really, really, really want to grow, Wednesday night is where it's at. It's not another message for me. It's a matter of Bible study to where all of us are involved in learning and growing, to where we'll share prayer requests based off the book of Exodus that we'll see. We will have personal devotions, what the Lord has shown you in the book of Exodus, to be able to share that with all of us so that we can all, again, grow. You grow when you have to teach somebody something. That's what last year was all about as well. We're going to look at the book of Galatians as well, since that's where our vision verse is going to come from, and do devotions out of that. It's going to be a time to really develop and grow in your walk and relationship with the Lord. Why? So that you can live every day free and liberated in Christ and not entangled in the things of the world or the flesh. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you for the day. I thank you for this vision, this direction that you've laid on my heart, that you've given us to our church, and those that don't attend our church but, you know, tune in every week. Lord, I pray that you help us to take this to heart. As believers in Christ, understanding every day we get up, we are free. We are liberated. Your power has set us so. As I say so often, the greatest problem that we ever have is being enslaved to sin and living a life without Christ, and that we die, we go to hell. But for those of us who have accepted Christ, you have freed us from all of that. And if your power is to free us from that and a life and an eternity in hell to be with you in heaven, then certainly your word and our relationship with you has the power to liberate us and keep us free from the little things in our lives that hinder us, that entangle us. Help us, Lord, to understand all the lessons we need to see in the book of Exodus this year as we study the nation of Israel, Moses, and your power in setting them free from slavery in Egypt, to draw them unto you, to have a relationship. Help us to apply those things in our lives and the doctrine of things that you've given us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thanks for paying attention and listening. I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you, something that you can hold on to. As always, it's been a while since I've done this kind of thing, but if you have any questions at all, feel free to ask me, and I'll be more than happy to get back with you, whether it's Facebook, Messenger, text me, whatever the case is, call me, whatever. I'll be more than happy to answer those questions and help you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Until next week, stay in the Word.